Pollack and Blue Eco versus U.S. Department of Justice and others, cause number, docket number 083857. Give you a minute to get the table cleared and work your way up here. All right, Mr. Pollack.
May it please the court, I'm Stephen Pollack, counsel for plaintiffs and appellants in this case. We're here because the FBI and Coast Guard have been discharging lead pollutants into the Great Lakes and other water bodies in violation of federal statute and public nuisance law.
Do you know if there's any other firing range on Lake Michigan that's still operating?
On Lake Michigan, I'm not aware of any. On Lake Erie, yes. But this range is only shut down voluntarily at the moment after we had gone in for a temporary restraining order because we had found that 40 bullets had ricocheted into the park next to the range.
Ricocheted what?
They'd ricocheted off-site from the range into the park adjacent to the range. Our expert and I had gone out to Foss Park on March 26th of last year, and we were able to find in 3 hours' time 40 bullets in the park next to the range and on the beach below the range. The range sits on top of the bluff next to Lake Michigan.
So a ricocheting bullet is a real threat.
It's a threat for many reasons.
It might hit somebody.
It might hit someone. That's a public safety issue. When it lands on the open land, it's a hazardous material. It's lead. It's in a park that kids can pick it up and take it home for souvenirs. They could put it in their mouth. I mean, lead is a toxic material that even in much smaller quantities than a lead bullet causes all kinds of recalls for toys. You can't use lead on paint. It's one of the oldest known toxins known to man.
But I mean, it's basic. Ricocheting bullets going into a park.
So the highest level.
You either close the park or you stop the shooting.
Which neither one of those happened, and the FBI knew.
That's not what your case is about, though, right. The ricochet.
Well, it is, because once the ricochets land on open land, they're available for other pathways that can affect human health and the environment. I mean, geese have been known to ingest lead shot for grit and die. There was the case in the Playboy Club in Lake Geneva.
So the emissions you're concerned about are these ricochets?
Well, the ricochets and errant rounds, which the Army Corps of Engineers in 79 said that they built a berm in 1979 for the bullets to be fired into, but that the lake acts as an impact area for errant rounds and ricochets. And before 1979, before that berm was built, from 1918 to that date, the Navy had used the property for the same purpose and was just firing directly into the lake. So there's also an accumulation of lead on the lake bed that's also part of our suit. So we seek several things. We seek an injunction against the further violation, the continued violation of the Clean Water Act and RCRA by the continued discharge, and for an order of cleanup, because no cleanup had been begun, and that's a contested issue. To address the 90 years of accumulation on the lake bed that we asserted an interest is on several levels, one being Illinois residents that the lake bed is held in trust for the benefit of the public, and as Lake County residents that there's very limited public access to beaches. There's only two counties in Illinois that have access that are adjacent to Lake Michigan, Lake County and Cook County, and not every municipality in Lake County has beach access. I mean, there's only Highland Park, Lake Bluff, Lake Forest, North Chicago, Waukegan. And so any Lake County resident can be expected to access Lake Michigan within their zone within the zone of their environment. I mean, the government's tried to make this a case about, you know, North Chicago only and everyone else, and no one else would therefore have standing. So unless you drank the water from North Chicago, you wouldn't have standing. But the reality is that Lake Michigan doesn't have municipal boundaries. If you look at a map of Lake Michigan, there is no North Chicago Lake Michigan and Highland Park Lake Michigan. There's just Lake Michigan. And so if I'm drinking water in Highland Park, that's affected by their discharges. And that's the main point. Is the Highland Park municipal water intake where I live affected by by their discharges. Now, the government claims to have controverted our judicial or jurisdictional facts on that matter. You know, we say that we drink the water, we enjoy the environment, the aesthetic environment, and they claim to have controverted it, and that puts a burden on us to prove our jurisdictional facts. But the reality is they haven't controverted anything. If you look in their filings, they nowhere say that their lead has not migrated to Highland Park. They nowhere say that their lead can't migrate to Highland Park. All they say is that we failed to prove that it does. So they haven't even taken a position or presented any evidence that it doesn't go that far, that it can't travel 13 miles, that the lake doesn't rotate counterclockwise and mix the contaminants that would eventually dilute and reach a soluble level in Highland Park. And in Sierra Club...
Are you aware that there's a whirlpool effect in the southern end of Lake Michigan?
A whirlpool effect? I mean, I know there's a counterclockwise rotation.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Whirlpool, the water.
Right, it rotates counterclockwise.
Is that right?
It is, and it's driven by winds. It's driven by southwest winds.
Well, why didn't you put that in your affidavit, your statement of facts?
We just put in that we're only held to a standard of our reasonable belief that their discharges do affect us. You know, I'm not a scientist. I can assert
well,
that.
Well, I mean, that's certainly, at least everybody who knows anything about Lake Michigan knows there's a whirlpool effect in the south end of it. So.
Well, and the thing is, in Sierra Club v. Franklin County Power, where this Seventh Circuit just 5 months ago held that Barbara McKesson had standing to challenge the building of a power plant that hadn't even been built. So she had standing. The power plant hadn't been built. Seventh Circuit said, well, it's going to someday discharge pollutants. And in reading the opinion, I didn't see anywhere where she was required to prove that the wind patterns from that power plant would go towards Renge Lake, 4 miles away, where she claimed that her interests may be affected by the pollutants at the power plant that hadn't even been built might discharge. She didn't provide any scientific proof, from what I can tell, that the pollutants could actually travel 4 miles. It was just assumed that they could. And the court said that a trifle will do, that asserting an interest in the environment and having a reasonable belief in itself would give standing. I mean, this case...
What's the name of that case?
That was Sierra Club v. Franklin County Power. Seventh Circuit about 5 months ago. And that opinion came out a month after our dismissal. So Judge Guzman hadn't had that case.
Well, it's one you have cited in your brief, though.
Right. And, I mean, this case, the FBI has known for a long time that its bullets are ricocheting off-site. They actually hit someone with a ricochet in 2001. There's the other side of the property is the North Shore Sanitary District property. And in 2001, they admit that a North Shore Sanitary District worker was hit by, quote, a ricocheted bullet which was fired at the subject property, end quote. So since 2001, the FBI has known that their bullets can and do ricochet and hit innocent bystanders, and yet they didn't close the range. They didn't close the range after 2001. When we found those 40 bullets and went in for a temporary restraining order on April 1st of last year, they said that those bullets may be related to, they wouldn't admit that they were their bullets. They said they may be related to, and they say, repeated, you know, issues with criminality in the park. And then Judge Guzman asked them, has there been any complaints by anyone of ricochets or bullets or projectiles or anything else from the shooting range spilling over into the park? And Mr. Galtieri, the Department of Justice attorney, said, right, yeah, Your Honor, we're not presently aware of any. We've had minimal time for any such inquiries, but we're not aware of any. So this is 7 years later. They won't admit, while we're trying to shut down the range, which was still operating at that time. Of course, they shut it down the night before voluntarily. But on direct questioning from the judge, they didn't admit to this 2001.
Now, they apparently have shut down a shotgun range. Is that right?
They shut down the shotgun range on January 18th, 4 days after we filed suit. It was a trap range on the edge of the bluff, and they seemed to be making the argument that they were shooting towards Lake Michigan directly without the benefit of a berm, but that somehow their shot didn't reach the lake.
Isn't that steel shot, not lead shot?
Well, they're saying that it was steel shot, but, you know, We didn't get into enough discovery.
Now it's steel shot.
And also municipal police use the range without the FBI there. And so whether they would be using steel shot when they had access is a question that we really didn't get into with discovery. We were limited on our discovery to jurisdictional facts, and so we never really received full discovery on the issue. Judge Guzman went on to ask, and nobody at this point is aware of a single incident or occurrence which has engendered a complaint from any of the public, Mr. Galtieri. That's correct, Your Honor. Okay, have there been any other notifications or notices or situations such as this one which bring to light the use of, the possibility that there's some sort of spillover of, the possibility that shots are going into the park from the range? Does anybody know of any such incident, information, or complaint? Mr. Galtieri, we're aware of none, Your Honor. Now, this is April 1st. We didn't get discovery until, which had the document, which is actually in the government supplemental appendix on the bottom of page 41. We didn't get that until April 21st. So at the time of the TRO hearing, we didn't know that there had been an incident where there had been a ricochet. And the significance also is that that incident is reported in their 2006 Phase 1 property assessment that they're claiming initiated their Superfund cleanup, which, you know, we'll probably be back here in a year arguing that, whether they actually started a cleanup and, you know, before we brought suit, and if we're barred from asking for our cleanup. You know, they seem to take steps to kind of moot the case as it moves on. But the main point as far as standing goes is that the executive won't police itself. And without citizens having standing to bring suit, the executive won't police itself at federal facilities. Federal facilities present a special case for standing that citizens should be granted even broader standing to challenge when the executive won't enforce against itself and when it's violating the law. I see my time's up. If there's no further questions, I'll sit.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Ms. Peterson.
May it please the Court, I'm Elizabeth Ann Peterson for the Federal Appellees. This Court should affirm the dismissal of this case for want of jurisdiction. It was Mr. Pollack's burden to establish jurisdictional facts in this case where they were properly challenged, not controverted, and he failed to bring any evidence to court of any personal impact on him or any member of his organization from the activities that he has challenged.
Are you acquainted with the Chicago Golf, Chicago Gun Club staff and skeet range that used to be out here in the Outer Drive in Chicago?
I am not familiar with that, I'm afraid, Your Honor.
Well, it was closed about, I don't know, 10 or... I used it, so I know it was there. It was closed about 10 or 15 years ago, and my understanding was that because the EPA had said you couldn't fire any lead missiles into the water at Lake Michigan. Do you know anything about that?
I am not aware of that. There is a case which may be the very same case. I'm afraid I can't
be certain. Further question, is there any such range operating on Lake Michigan today outside of this one?
I'm not aware of any such range operating today other than this one, although this one is currently not operating either.
This is a federal government operation, and it's still operating, whereas everybody else is being shut down.
The question here is whether Mr. Pollack or a member of his organization has been affected by this activity.
You don't know whether any other range is allowed. Can you get a permit for such a range? Is that possible today?
Your Honor, I apologize. I'm not equipped to answer the question whether a permit could be granted.
Here.
In this instance, the FBI range is used for any number of law enforcement groups.
Well, I know a lot of people are using this range, but my question is there any other range that's permitted to operate on the shores of Lake Michigan in this day and age? I would be rather skeptical myself, but I don't know what the facts are.
I honestly can't tell you what the facts are either, Your Honor, because the facts of this case don't show us anything in that regard. They also don't show us anything to connect Mr. Pollack or his organization, Blue Eco, to these activities. He alleges injury on two grounds. One, that his drinking water is threatened by the presence of lead in Lake Michigan, but does not allege that he has changed his behavior or ceased drinking his tap water. And, moreover, provided evidence only that the drinking water in his community of Highland Park is both within federal standards and that Highland Park believes that the lead component, which is within federal standards of its drinking water, is present there because of leaching from household plumbing. In other words, enters the drinking water after it leaves the intake from Lake Michigan. So nothing to say that Lake Michigan contains lead contamination was presented as evidence to support Mr. Pollack's injury here.
In order to have standing, I guess you're saying that, because we've encountered this kind of thing before, sometimes with isolated waterways and that sort of thing, if someone is a bird watcher, a fisherman, a swimmer, catches fish and eats it, or drinks the water, they can allege some kind of a personal injury based on those activities. You're saying he doesn't have jurisdiction because he hasn't made any of those allegations.
That's correct, Your
Honor. Is that all there is to it?
That's what the district court held. It held that although the threshold is very low, and although Mr. Pollack was provided with the opportunity to present facts that would support his allegations of injury, he failed to do it. He failed to show that any kind of contamination from any of these activities might be entering his drinking water, and in fact showed that there was a different source for that contamination. He failed to allege that he had changed his behavior with respect to enjoyment of the environment. He claims to enjoy watching migrations and enjoy eating fish and to desire to do those things less, but he doesn't say that he has changed his behavior in any way, nor did he provide any evidence that there has been bioaccumulation of lead in the fish from, or the birds from the Lake Michigan area. Simply no facts.
Does he have to show he changed his behavior because of, and then give evidence of what happened, or just because he thinks that?
He has to have a reasonable basis for his change of behavior so that, for example, had he ceased drinking tap water but shown only that the most likely source of lead in his tap water was not Lake Michigan at all, that might not suffice. A change of behavior, however, would suggest that there is injury. He feels worried enough on the basis of the activities that he challenges to do something different from what he would have enjoyed doing.
I'm worried. He's worried about it. Isn't that an identifiable trifle, as the case is? Incidentally, are you acquainted with the whirlpool effect in the southern end of Lake Michigan?
There again, Your Honor, the record doesn't tell us anything about that whirlpool effect,
I'm
and
not
I'm not
sure
familiar
about,
with it.
You're talking about the 13 miles from North Chicago to Highland Park. But 13 miles, it may not be very far in Lake Michigan.
It may not. And if, in fact, there are currents driving the particular waters from the areas that have been contaminated directly to the intake for the water that Mr. Pollack is exposed to, that might be an adequate allegation to support standing. But he didn't make those showings. He didn't provide any evidence of that.
I guess I'm worried, in following up on Judge Mannion's question, does he really have to allege that he has changed his behavior, particularly after the Sierra Club versus Franklin County case in the circuit? In that case, wasn't the allegation that the behavior would change if the plant were allowed?
Yes.
So isn't it enough if he fears that his conduct would be affected in the future because of this?
In this instance, he doesn't say that. He says that he has less desire to eat fish from any source. He says that he is less inclined to visit public places. These allegations are just simply too general. The allegations in Franklin County were that the individual who made the affidavit routinely every summer visited a lake that she would no longer visit if the plant were put in place. There is no such concrete allegation of harm in this record.
Is it the government's intention to continue operating this range, or have they abandoned it?
The range has not been abandoned, and there has been a safety assessment completed and a redesigned berm that is state-of-the-art ballistic rubber berm that will be in place if it ever if and when it reopens, along with an eyebrow to prevent any damage from any kind of ricochet effect, such as the ones Mr. Pollack was discussing this morning. There again, however, there isn't any allegation in this record that someone associated with Mr. Pollack's organization or Mr. Pollack himself has ever enjoyed visiting Foss Park or any other place that's affected by the operation of the range.
He does say that he enjoys, uses and enjoys public areas along the Illinois portions of Lake Michigan.
And under the
that
most
would include those, wouldn't it?
Presumably it might. The Foss Park and the range are actually high above the lake. I'm not sure if he's talking about enjoying areas that are not on the lake itself.
Why did the government abandon the shotgun shooting?
That portion of the range has been shut down permanently. I can't say that the record explains the rationale for that, but it is.
Some of the what used to be lead pellets, they're steel now, of course, got into the lake. Is that?
I do not believe that there was a finding that that was the case, Your Honor, but the range, which was not protected by the berm, was not considered to be appropriate
and
was closed down permanently.
You know, if anybody else can get a permit to operate a gun range on the shores of Lake Michigan, I'm very curious about that.
I apologize, but I am not in a position to answer that question. I think it's enough to say that a realistic threat of harm to any specific area or specific activity that was enjoyed by Mr. Pollack probably would have provided him with allegations sufficient to support standing. He did not provide any evidence of any such realistic threat of harm, and therefore the district court properly dismissed his claim for lack of jurisdiction. And that holding should be affirmed by this court, if the court has no further questions.
Yeah, can he come back then and say all those things? And we have standing?
Actually, under the most recent standing decision in the Supreme Court, the Summers decision, I believe it's too late for him to come in with new affidavits to support this complaint.
Somebody else?
Someone. An appropriate plaintiff, obviously, can make.
That sounds like almost anybody. Based on what they're alleging their enjoyment and that sort of thing. It seems if we set it up and say, well, he didn't do this, that, and the other thing, and the next person comes in and does just that and the other thing, says that.
And a proper plaintiff may challenge activities. If there is someone whose concrete interests have been or will be affected mm-hmm. by these activities can be challenged by that person. But as the Supreme Court reiterated, particularized injury, in fact, is a hard floor requirement of Article III jurisdiction, and the court cannot simply ignore that and assert jurisdiction where it has not been shown.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Pollack.
Be quick here. The government says that we didn't provide studies, but the reality is that those kinds of studies, if they existed, would be the responsibility of the government as a violating party to create. I mean, citizens don't have the resources to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to track down the lead from the range and see if a molecule of lead can reach 13 miles. The U.S. EPA should have been doing those studies. The FBI, once it was aware, I mean, since 1986, they knew that they were impacting Lake Michigan. They were the ones who should have put those studies. And then the government raises the issue that we would have to change our behavior to show a concreteness of harm. But as you point out, in Sierra Club, I mean, what would Barbara McKesson have to do? I mean, she couldn't stop breathing the air. And likewise, I wouldn't have to stop drinking the water a concrete harm.
A lot of people drink bottled water. In fact, I think in this building, you're not supposed to drink it out of the faucet. I don't think it's because of lead.
Which would be a personal choice, and maybe be an intelligent choice.
In my own home, we get water out of a well. And my girls won't drink that water.
And it may be better, it may not be. I mean, given that the Safe Drinking Water Act level was set at 15 parts per billion.
It just tastes better.
Yeah.
They say. Anyway, you could, I mean, you're the person, right?
Yes.
You have all these things, all these activities and different things that, for whatever reason, you didn't allege your own behavior has changed. This is kind of a general threat to everybody as opposed to how it's changed you.
Well, it's general except that I am among the injured.
Okay.
So, and that's, well, this, that's the standing mean, inquiry, not right. that
you
I have to...
You know if it's possible to get a permit to discharge lead?
I believe it's not.
In any form or any purpose?
I believe it's not, Your Honor. And Exhibit B of our complaint is the U.S. EPA has a guidance document on leaded outdoor shooting ranges, and it says that shooting into open bodies of water is not an option if you want to continue operating as a range. And that document, Exhibit B of our complaint, goes into detail.
Have you submitted that in this case?
No, but, I mean, it's part of the record. I mean, it's be docketed.
Is it moot then? It's not going to do it anymore, so that's it?
That they're not going to do it anymore?
Well, no. I mean, is that if it's already... There's not going to be any more lead being used, shot, whatever.
Well, that's in the shot. They're still apparently going to shoot lead into a new and improved berm, although the 2006 they put in a new and improved berm as well, and that didn't work out too well.
It's when there's ricocheting off of it, right?
Yeah, and it ricochets off of other things on the range. There's defroctor plates. There's the metal target holders. When we went to our range visit during discovery, there were all kinds of evidence of strikes on these ricochet plates that are there to protect their target holders. And, in fact, that was another issue is that they bondoed the holes, the ricochets in those metal plates and painted them and then refused to allow us to have our experts shoot into those, which the court had ordered us to be allowed to shoot our tracer bullets to see if there was any off-site deflections. They refused to allow us to shoot at those ricochet plates and said that if we didn't shoot into the dirt area, that would indicate that we had lost control and they would shut down the discovery process for that range visit. I see your time is up.
All right. Thank you.